In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is born. Brothers and sisters, we find ourselves here on the eighth day of the Nativity, the continued celebration of the Incarnation, one of the most joyous and festive times of the church year. And on this day, there are actually a number of things that are happening. There's a certain convergence on this January 1st. St. John Chrysostom says in these festival times when there's this great convergence, it's like having a table fully laden with all of the festival foods. You want to eat just the right amount and not overeat, or you have trouble with digestion. So we'll take just a few of these spiritual and rich gifts that God has given to us and speak about them. First, it's January 1st. We all know what that means. It's the Feast of St. Basil and the Feast of the Circumcision, also New Year. St. Basil, we know, is one of the great fathers of the church. From the 4th century, he died in 379. And he was a man of great learning and education. He taught very profoundly the mystery of the Christian life, that mystery that leads to the next age, to the kingdom of heaven. But he also cared for the people on this earth, whether they were believers or not. He cared for them. St. Basil was known to have founded what became considered the modern-day hospital, the Basilia. It was a place where the poor would come and they would receive some monetary support, a place where the sick would come to be healed. There was a hospice there, a place to house strangers. This was considered at the time actually one of the great marvels of the world. And on January 1st, as we know, we keep the custom of St. Basil's bread, the Vasilopita. At the time in the 4th century, like today, there were many poor. And St. Basil set about ministering to their needs. He had the women in the diocese bake sweetbreads. And these breads were distributed to those in need. But St. Basil had coins put into these breads from the church's treasury. So he fed them, and he provided some monetary assistance. And since the time of the 4th century, this custom of the Vasilopita, St. Basil's bread, has been kept in the Orthodox world. We'll keep that custom here today. In fact, it's one of our most popular events in our church life. We have people even who traveled here from afar to be here on this day. My brother and sister-in-law came from Vermont. They're here on a one-day trip. And it's maybe coincidental that they came just for St. Basil's bread, or maybe they came for that coin that we put in the bread, and the blessing of St. Basil. But of course, that blessing is offered to all of us if we imitate St. Basil. If we are merciful and kind and caring to the poor, if we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, do all of these things that St. Basil did, his blessing will be upon us whether we get the coin or not. Secondly, we celebrate the Feast of the Circumcision of the Lord. It's the eighth day of Christmas. And on the eighth day after the Lord was born according to the flesh, he was circumcised. This was a custom that was given in the law of Moses, but even before that, it was given to Abraham. And this was a sign of the covenant of God and mankind. Those who were in a relationship with the one true God were circumcised. And they became part of a family. And on this day, when the God who gave the law enters into the temple to fulfill the law, we see him as part of this lineage, part of this family. Circumcision is a reminder that God has become man to share his life with us and our life with him, that he's entered into the relationship of family with us. Circumcision shows the lawgiver fulfilling the law. In the scriptures, we hear that Christ has not come to abolish, but to fulfill. And he fulfills the law in three main ways. First, he fulfills the law by practicing everything in the law and doing it in utter perfection. Not according to the dead letter, but according to the spirit that was behind that law. Christ fulfills the law as he intended it to be fulfilled. But we know that Christ also fulfills the law in another way, because he transfigures that law. He raises that law. He takes the Old Testament ordinances and statutes and precepts, and he raises them to a higher level. As earth is less than heaven. The Old Testament is less than the New. And Christ fulfills this law, making it actually even more difficult, more challenging. Because not only are we not permitted to murder, but we're not permitted to feel anger and hatred in the heart. Not only are we not permitted to commit adultery, but we're not permitted even to look with lust upon another person. Christ takes what is external and makes it internal. And by this, he transfigures and elevates and fulfills the law. The third way, of course, is that he makes this higher law, the law of the gospel, able to be fulfilled by his people. By his people who weren't able to complete and fulfill the Mosaic law, he gives them his Holy Spirit so that they can fulfill the higher law, the law of God. He empowers them so that not only does he fulfill it himself, but they also now can fulfill it too. Christ did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. In the hymns last night, we heard about how the curse of the law no longer weighs upon us. And what is the curse of the law? We all know this very well. It's when the laws of God are not able to be fulfilled. When we fall short of them, when we know our guilt before God, and we suffer the consequences of our sins, and we bear the burden of a conscience tormented by not fulfilling the law of God. This was the curse of the law that all mankind suffered with. But Christ removes this curse because by the Spirit he gives to us, we're able to fulfill the law. In society, there is a tendency to get rid of the law, to get rid of morality, to get rid of right and wrong, good and evil. Let's get rid of it so that people can be unburdened by it. And what we have is chaos and anarchy. You have life that really is death. But what Christ does is he gives us that Spirit that lets us see clearly the difference between the two and lets us choose which one we want for our lives. And this is an ongoing choice. St. Paul even says he sees within himself the law of the flesh, but also the law of the Spirit. And there's this great struggle that goes on within the human being. But remember how St. Paul ended his life. He said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me." And by becoming part of the body of Christ, by receiving that Holy Spirit, we are able to fulfill the law. And we do so willingly. We want to practice the law. Not as something that hangs over our head that we ought to do or we should do, but as something that lives within us that we want to do, that we want to become virtuous people of God. We want to share communion with Him and one another. We want to be made holy, and it's the Spirit that gives us this great gift, this great desire, if we cooperate. Circumcision was a sign of the Old Covenant. We find ourselves right in the middle between the Lord's birth and His theophany. And this speaks to us about the movement to the New Covenant. Because the New Covenant is not in circumcision, but in baptism. Christ was born so that we could be reborn. We celebrate Christ's nativity and His baptism so that we could be born and baptized. So that we could be remade, refashioned, and become part of that New Testament lineage. Christ becomes the new Adam. And everyone who's incorporated into Christ goes through this mystery of baptism, chrismation, Holy Communion, union with God. We become His descendants, part of this family that spans Old and now New Testament times. We become part of the people of God, His family. In our parish, we have catechumens who are preparing themselves for sacramental reception into the church. One of our catechumens, Robin Armstrong, will be received shortly into the church through chrismation. And she'll become part of this family of God. We'll become brothers and sisters with her in Christ. This is a time of great celebration for her and for us. welcoming someone else into this holy community. I mentioned all of these things that converge on this day. One of the things that converges is the Sunday after Nativity. And who do we remember on the Sunday after Nativity? But the Holy King Prophet David, St. James, the brother of the Lord, and the righteous Joseph. And these people are called the kinsmen of the Lord. They were part of his family. And Robin, and later then Margaret, and all those who are catechumens will become part of this family. Today is also the Sunday before Theophany. A lot of things on this January 1st this year. The Sunday before Theophany is given to us to prepare for the Lord's baptism, to celebrate this great holy feast, where we bless the waters and we're renewed by drinking those waters and being sprinkled with those waters. We take the holy water to our homes and to our businesses, and we bless every facet of our life. We use it also to bless our cars. Some, if you have cattle, can bless your cattle. We bless everything. We're renewed in everything. The Spirit of God extends into all of our life. It's time of great festivity. And perhaps the last of these convergences today is the New Year. Our society offers us a contribution today, and it's a good one. Because it's a time for new beginnings. It's a time for new resolutions. Everyone knows the custom to make a promise, a resolution to oneself, that we'll be better in this next year. We'll do this or that which we failed to do the previous year. We'll make a rule for ourselves, and we'll struggle to keep that. The joke is, of course, usually we don't make it very far, whether it be with gym membership, diets, or any of those kind of things. But the very practice of having resolutions is a good one, and having rules to guide our life, that direct us in the way of truth and righteousness and goodness, that keep us from falsehood and sin and death. Resolutions are things that we need. And honestly, we should all be thinking, what resolution can we make? What can we do to better our lives, better the lives of one another and the whole world? I submit to you on this January 1st, as we remember the lawgiver submitting himself to his own laws, that we imitate him. That we realize that those rules and resolutions and guidelines, they have already been given to us. We don't need to make something up. Everything that we need to order our lives and make our lives beautiful and holy and what they should be has been given to us by Christ. He's given us his commandments, his teachings. But more than this, he's also given us his grace. St. John says that the law was given through Moses, but in Christ we have grace and truth. Truth and grace. The commandments and the way to fulfill those commandments by the power of the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, this is a festive time, a joyous time. A time for us to be renewed, recommitted to one another, and recommitted to God. Let us be people who take advantage of all of the riches that are given to us and digest them, and be changed by them, and feast on them. Christ is born. Amen.